Hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes in inform you and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
All right, Dana, what are you filling up on this morning here?
All right, so I got my refreshing flavored Pellegrino over here.
Oh, nice. Something cool, almost, you know, and compared to like those little cans of cold coffee or whatever, you know, probably 1,000% less caffeine, right? Yeah. I've had one of those, like in the middle of the afternoon, those little cold brews, and wow, that stuff really keeps you up. Yeah.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
So I would take the Pellegrino, I think, at this time in the morning. Unless you want to be jittery for hours.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to be bouncing off the walls this early. Yeah. Not this early.
Yeah. I'm just drinking my little Pure Leaf raspberry.
Okay, your tea. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a little sweet and not super sweet. I've bought from this brand in particular, I've bought the super sweet kind. It is way too much.
Okay.
So I like the raspberry and the lemon. I like a little tea in the morning. I just don't have, I think, I've owned multiple teapots in my life.
Okay.
I think I've given them all away to Goodwill over time.
You don't use them.
Exactly. I mean, owned Teavana tea and would use it for a little while. Uh-huh. I have a really nice tea set from a friend, but it's not a pot to boil water in, you know, it's like a fancy one from Teavana, and I just keep it in the box for safety.
Oh, man. You know. You got to break that thing out and use it. It probably has an infuser in it, right?
Yes. It's got the little metal basket that hangs in the ceramic pot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a couple nice glasses. You know, they're kind of, they're not like coffee cup handled kind of things. They're different looking, I think. I'm going to say Asian inspired because of the design work and all. So the cups are really cool looking. But... yeah, I guess I'll leave it out. I don't want to get it broken or whatever. But I might have to now go and buy like another pot to make the water, to make the tea. And then is Teavana still around?
I don't think so.
Or did somebody absorb
maybe,
them?
Maybe.
Because I'm trying to think if I remember seeing a sign where, oh, you can get Teavana at somewhere. I can't remember where.
Okay. Because I haven't seen any of the stores around. Well, at least here in my parts. I haven't...
you know, and I have not been to the Glendale Galleria for a long time now. Okay. And I know they had a store there because that's where me and my friend would go. And we would, she was much more into the tea world. So she knew much more about the, you know, 100 cans behind the counter and what each one of them was.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think somebody absorbed them. So hopefully you can still get them somewhere.
Yeah, I hope so. Or there's a really popular tea brand or tea house. It's called Chado.
Okay.
I believe spelled C-H-A-D-O.
Okay.
Those are really popular out here. They have locations like in Pasadena, Hollywood area. And I think there's one in Little Tokyo as well.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. That makes it legitimate then.
If it's in Little Tokyo.
Well, no, because if you've been to Little Tokyo, I mean, some of those stores are... really know their stuff.
Oh, they're very high end out there. Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll keep that in mind then if I need to find some tea. Because it's like, just this time of year, I'd be, you know, buying Christmas cards and stuff. And so I used to like to go to Papyrus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And those guys have almost literally disappeared off the planet, too.
Yeah. And their cards are so nice.
Yeah, so what I ended up having to do, because I had an email from them, because I was on their list from last year. You know, I'd bought it at the store at the Glendale Galleria.
Mm-hmm.
they said that, you know, I think they said there's, you know, they don't have as many locations, and I think the one at the Glendale Galleria is closed, but you can now get most of their stuff at Target and three or four other major retailers, and then also Amazon.
Yes.
So I was able to do my shopping at the Papyrus store, and although you can't order everything through their website for whatever reason, maybe they don't like to do the fulfillment part.
Okay.
I was able to get my Christmas cards through Amazon this year.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah,
but they, good ones.
And I have, I've checked out their selection through Amazon. They have some pretty good ones.
Yeah, I mean, again, if I'm stuck on Papyrus, I like the cards, the feel, you know, their quality.
Yes, and they're so creative. The designs are so beautiful and creative, and they're really nice. I like Papyrus.
Yeah, so this year everyone's getting the same card. I'm not gonna do what I normally do.
Yeah,
which is if it isn't Papyrus, the other one I've liked was this place called like Retro Christmas Cards, and it you've probably received them from me before. They kind of have a 1950s,
yes,
mid-century modern feel to them, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, fancy Santa sitting in his all glass mid-century house, or people doing the 50s kind of thing. And that's the other one I've done a lot of. But I would buy like five different designs, and then I'd kind of spread them out among family and friends. And usually it would be a case of the super religious in the family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
I would make certain they get the more religious bent cards. You know, ones that talk about Merry Christmas and, you know, anything about Jesus, you know, the birth of Jesus and stuff like that, and peace on earth. And then the ones that, you know, I don't, you know, would take a little funny thing. I made sure they got the semi-funny cards. And, you know, then it feels just like sometimes you need some filler cards for the people you don't quite know.
Right.
You'd have the ones that are more, you know, happy holidays and, you know.
Like generic, more generic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. A little more straightforward. Those who had family, I'd have a card more about like, you know, have a good time with your family this, you know, time or whatever.
Okay.
But this year, you're all getting the same. Sorry.
And it's nice to know, Dennis, that, you know, we're still sending Christmas cards. You know,
I know. I feel like I'm coming down to the last person at my age group that worries about this.
Okay.
And I mean, I have my list, you know. I'll show it to you here on my Zoomy here. And there's and actually I may need your help at some point, but I've got my list of
people. Everybody, it is extensive.
Yeah, it is
it's intense.
Three columns.
Oh wow.
Color coded. I still need to get three people out of 70 plus here on the list. Family and friends and coworkers and all. I need addresses for three people still. So one of them is that Anna Faye lady, the director of financial aid over at Pierce College, because she recently, they'd moved from where they'd lived, her and her husband, to a smaller place. And that's why I got to get hers. And then I got a former student employee of ours, and then some friends of mine from South Pasadena area who'd moved to Austin, Texas recently. I believe they may be just outside of Dallas. So he's going to be easy one to get because I know there's other people in my social circles that know how to find him.
Okay.
But I got
that is awesome.
Everybody else is good to go. So as soon as the cards come in later this week, I know what I'm doing this weekend.
Absolutely. So get your pen hand ready.
That's right. And I always use the really nice, you know, like you.
Sharpie. Yeah.
The Sharpies. Because yes, I like my stuff to be permanent.
Yes.
I got to say, you know, I when we moved out of the office in March against our wills, I brought all the Sharpie clickable ones that I could
find
out of my office because those are my favorites.
Yes, they are. Those ones are really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, they just write well. And when they die, you know. It just happens. Yeah,
you know, just grab another one. I mean, like you said, you stocked up. So, you know, you got everything.
Well, you know, I think we've talked about it on the show before. You know, as all this was hitting in March, that's when all our supplies were starting to finally come in, our last orders of the fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there was at least a box or two that was in the boxes in my office that when I went back that maybe first week of April, and I dug through and found stuff.
You know what we should do, Dennis, when we do go back when it's time. We should take a poll, or maybe we could take some bets. I don't know. You know, get a little money going on to see what is left in our storage rooms.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, because for those who don't know, you know, in a financial aid office that's already tight as it is, our storage rooms are elsewhere on campus.
Yes.
And so they're inside of small meeting rooms. But other people on campus, let's just call them the custodians and facilities people, and others sometimes, I don't know how, have access to these rooms because then they park their vacuums and equipment in there.
It just, you know, magically appears, you know, you know.
Yeah, stuff never comes back, but it always disappears. But we're going to have to do that in particular when we get back because we lent out a tent or a tablecloth or two to facilities for something on campus where our president just was doing a photo op.
Okay.
And he wanted something that said LA Mission on a tablecloth, so the facilities were calling around looking for stuff. And, of course, we always have that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest wonder is it back? In the storage.
We'll see. We will see, man.
Because we spent good money on good, like, tablecloths.
Yeah. We have
and,
some good stuff.
And we have the nicest pop-ups for tents.
Oh, yeah. The tents are and awesome.
So when those get loaned out, you know, we
they have to hunt come them back. Down. They have
the,
to come
the
back.
Only thing I can't remember, Dana, do we have our step and repeat back?
Our step and repeat. We already know the name of the person who has it. You know, if I need to, you know, I'll make a phone call.
Okay. Because that's a really, you know, our step and repeat is a nice little background we use for photo shoots at our scholarship ceremony and other things. But because we have kind of a nice generic-y kind of looking background with LA Mission on it and all, other departments tend to borrow it from us. And so someone does have it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, and if they give us any trouble, like, oh, you know, I don't know where I put it, you know, I'll make another phone call.
Okay. I guess I want to make sure about this.
Yes.
I want to make sure we stay on top of that. Oh, but, you know, thinking about this weekend, you know, we've just passed through Thanksgiving. Hopefully you had a good time with family.
Oh, yeah.
And Black Friday and Cyber Monday. I was wondering, when it comes to gift giving with friends, because, again, in my family, it's kind of complicated. I have three brothers, and my mother's around. So we give stuff to mother. But among the brothers, seeing that, you know, we're a little older now. Mm-hmm. One's got kids. A couple of them, you know, employment-wise, you know, sometimes some years are good and bad. We don't do it among the brothers. So there's much more among friends. But I'm wondering, have you ever felt where if you give a friend a gift, where, again, there was no discussion about doing gift-giving, you think that creates that sudden need in that other person to reciprocate and give back? And is that good or bad?
I do feel that. If I get a gift, I feel like, oh, man, you know, I didn't get them anything. I should get them something. But considering the situation we're in this year.
Less guilt?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
That's what I was wondering. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I looked at my list. Even I looked at my list this year.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I think I can still give some gifts here. And
You
know, not probably mess with anyone's head.
You know, Dennis, real talk right now.
Mm-hmm.
And to all you listening, I already pre-warned everybody. The only people getting gifts this year are my mom and my dad. That's it.
Oh, wow.
Like, okay. And then, you know, of course, whoever our Secret Santa is, you know, since we're doing it in the office. But I already explained, look, man, it's my situation and it is what it is.
Yeah. I hate to say it that unfortunately, probably other than the few friends that I still see in social circles, which is a lot smaller social circles now.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of our employees were probably going to take the biggest hit from me only because of trying to logistically figure out how to get stuff to everybody.
Right. You know, and then you have to count the cost of mailing it if you, you know, decide you want to do that. Because I know most of us since you're in the Hollywood area, most of us are here in the.
Exactly. Yeah. In past years, I would, because I am a big believer in bookstores, whether they be Barnes & Noble, last of the big retailers, or small ones like Vroman's, or there's a couple out in like Manhattan Beach area and such. Mm-hmm. Or when I was at, I was at CASFA conference last year in Riverside, and right around the corner from the Mission Inn was a little bookstore. Mm-hmm. I like to give books, and I try to pick them so that they are topics that would be interesting to the people. So, mm-hmm. I think last year among all the staff, Barnes & Noble always has a great selection of like books for $10 and under. And so, we have a couple of our student workers who have dogs. And so I found a book that was something like, What Is My Dog Trying to Say? Or something like that.
Okay.
And so it was like interpretive of when dogs do things, what they're trying to tell you.
Right.
So I got that for some people. And then others, like one book was like, How to Do Adulting or something like that.
Okay.
And I think I got that for our younger student workers.
Oh, okay. Some adults actually need that.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, absolutely. But I don't know if I can do the same thing. Now, I do have, don't tell any other staff now, but I do have candy coming.
Uh-oh.
So we'll figure out how to get the candy to you all, because I used to get.
Is it from that fancy place?
Unfortunately, no. It's somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I used to get Godiva. I used to get the Santas. And then they stopped making the Santas on me, which didn't make me happy. And then I would get the boxes. But I have this is from a friend who's doing one of his Kiwanis charities thing this Christmas time. He was doing a different brand of chocolate.
Okay.
So the boxes will be in about a week, and then we'll figure out how we get them to everybody.
Nice. Yeah. That is so cool.
Yeah, I wonder if I just taped them to their Christmas cards, you think the post office would deliver?
It's not going to happen. No.
Well, we won't worry about that then. But you know what time it is? It's that time to make our segue into our next segment, Dana. Let's play a little music and get all prepped for part two.
And welcome to our second cup on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
Time for a refill with all that hot Christmas gift buying, holiday gift buying talk that we just had.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
We should definitely give our audience maybe a little bit of news on a Tuesday like this. Even though I have to say, I'm digging through the news wires of NASFA and the feds and everyone else, it's a little light on news. But I'll tell you, I have some news from one of our coworkers at LA Mission College, a book project by Professor Mario Escobar, a friend of mine also, one of our professors on campus, was recently named to the top 10 books of 2020 by Latin Stories, a website dedicated to Latino literature. Rebeldita, La Alegre, it's a long title,
I'll tell you that. Oh, Dennis. And
I forgot to ask him for the English version of this. This is a children's book written by Dr. Oriel Maria Siu. She's a professor at Loyola Marymount that met Mario, and they worked on this. And illustrated by Alicia Maria Siu. I think related there. It's a children's book about Rebeldita, an undocumented little girl who lives in Ogreland. The ogres steal children's parents at night, where Rebeldita fights back. She organizes other children to act to save their parents. Dr. Escobar edited the book and collaborated with the author on the project. For more information, we'll include a link to the Latino Stories website in our show notes.
I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, I believe he also has, for people like me, he has the English version of the book coming out early next year, thankfully.
Yeah, this is you butchered.
Yeah, I should have practiced it, but I think I had in my notes in my head I would call him or text him and ask him, how does this break down? I think it basically is like the rebel child in Ogreland is the interpretation.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Man. That's all me. Right, everyone. Moving along, the National College Attainment Network, or NCAN, recently updated their FAFSA tracker. Available at formyourfuture.org, FAFSA Tracker is an interactive data dashboard that tracks and ranks states' progress toward reaching 100% of their high school seniors completing the FAFSA and measures change year over year. The tracker shows weekly progress and allows year-to-year comparisons at the national, state, city, school district, and school levels. Data comes from Federal Student Aid, or FSA, an office within the U.S. Department of Education. For more information, check out formyourfuture.org/FAFSA-tracker.
So, Dana, how's California doing in all of this?
Well, California currently ranks 39th in the percentage of high school seniors completing the FAFSA. Mm-hmm. 19.6% of our seniors are completing the FAFSA. Illinois ranks number one with 37.8% of their seniors taking the plunge into the FAFSA. And right now, California is 13.9% lower than it was a year ago. So there is plenty of room for growth and improvement.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm sure there's things some colleges are doing out there. I know we've been doing some things. Mm-hmm. And I know this goes along with the Student Aid Commission's Race to the Top.
Right, right.
Right, the competition among the high schools.
Yes, uh-huh.
And I believe one of our schools nearby, Granada Hills Charter High School, is almost always in the top 10.
Absolutely.
They get like 80-some percent of their high school students to make do the FAFSA or the Dream Act application.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we gotta brainstorm.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we may bring that up on another show. We'll have some ideas. How do you beat the bushes to get students to do something that's only good for them? Because I know that's a big question on our campus as we look at student funding formula and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, Dana, if you didn't know, our personnel commission for our district, they put out a monthly newsletter. I'm sure you send it off to a folder never to be found.
It's called Into the Void.
Into the Void. I don't know if you saw the last one that came out early in November, but it had some good tips on how to succeed at online meetings now that we've all been doing this for about 8 months. Mm. The newsletter had good things we should all keep in mind, including paying attention to your visual representation by checking your background and your lighting, ensuring your webcam is properly set up, you know, like properly aimed, things like that, and dressing appropriately for meetings. So they talked about like trying to dress up a little more, just like it was a work day. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, we already worked in a fairly casual office. That's probably not happening a whole lot.
No.
But the article also covered how to keep distractions out of range when online. And doing necessary preparation for your meeting. You know, this included technical things like, you know, check your internet speed. If you're on a wireless, router for your computer, you know, making sure that you're close enough to your wireless router. We know some co-workers that sometimes that's a problem, you know, in a house, you know, you're in the far corner and you're far away from it. And then waiting for others to stop speaking before you start so you can avoid those lag times and dropouts in audio. You know, the article certainly had some good ideas. Dana, do you have any number one top tip you would have after doing as many meetings with students and faculty and staff or small groups?
Well, I think the one important to me, at least, that the article mentions is the distractions. Like those are in the background, the distractions in the background. It for me personally, it makes a huge difference. Like, because sometimes with the virtual backgrounds, you know, it'll go in and out.
Yes.
And it kind of like distracts you from the meeting. And then when there's other noises in the background, that can be a distractor too.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I think, I know it's kind of hard, but just keeping people engaged too.
Like, yes.
You know, you're not just talking the whole time, but engaging the audience as well.
I think those are all good things we need to all kind of keep in mind with ourselves as we continue to do this going forward. You're right. I mean, I think my background sometimes is busy, but compared to some of the virtual ones, and you're right, I forgot who I was on a call with, but their cat jumped in front of them And so because of the way the virtual background tries to figure out what's up close.
It's like all like, swirly, huh?
Then it went weird looking and all you had was this cat butt in the screen. And then the person disappeared.
Yeah.
And then everything disappeared.
Oh, boy.
And then you get this little cat face that came up and it would disappear because the camera can't figure out what's up close.
Uh-huh.
It's just the weirdest thing. I mean, I've seen people's dogs and cats jump in, you know, but if you don't have the virtual background, then you just have a cat walking by. That's all.
There you go. Or cat butt. There you go.
Or cat butt walking by the screen. You know, nothing big and new there at all. Not at all. Well, Dana, we got maybe time for one more article. You got one going, ready to go?
Yeah. So there was an interesting article on MarketWatch regarding how to get the most financial aid for your student by taking steps during their sophomore year of college. The article discussed how to account for the prior year income and asset information you use on the federal aid form, the FAFSA. For example, assuming you have a sophomore now who will go to college in 2023, you can make changes to your income in 2021 and your available assets, which will be used when calculating your student's aid eligibility. For example, the article talks about how if you have the ability to, and this is a big if, there are five things you can do to lower your reported income in 2021 to affect aid eligibility for fall of 2023. For example, Dennis, if you're going to give me a big bonus, I need to take it this year before December 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Another option is that if you need like dental implants, eyeglasses, therapy, or buying hearing aids, do this in 2021. Colleges can oftentimes take into account out-of-pocket medical expenses in review to potentially change aid eligibility. We may not do a lot of this at the community colleges, but this may be a more common experience at costlier colleges. The other examples revolve around selling appreciated securities outside of your retirement accounts, making withdrawals from an IRA or 401k now instead of 2021. And mixing your 401k contribution and skipping contributions.
I think that's maxing out. Yeah, I think
You max out, yes. Mm-hmm. So you max out your 401k contribution and skipping contributions in 2021. Some of these seem esoteric to me and you, but the article is an interesting take on how some parents with the financial wherewithal can help lower their incomes and our assets to change their students' expected family contribution as calculated by the FAFSA formula.
Yeah, I think some of this, you know, I read the same article because I go out to the MarketWatch website to track all my stocks and bonds and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was an interesting take, and it is a little more aimed at the higher income parents who might have the ability to defer income
or get your
bonuses early. Sorry, Dana, no bonuses here.
Well, look, I'm just grateful to have a job.
Yeah, I understand, you know. Yeah, yes. I can never make guarantees of bonuses and all like that. But we'll definitely include a link in our show notes for everybody so they can find that article. But Dana, let's take another little musical break and we'll head into our last little segment of the night. And we're back, everybody. We are back for our last sip segment. And I did say for the night, we're recording this in the morning, everybody. I'm not sure why I said that.
I know, because I know where your mind is. That's why.
Yeah, maybe I'm still tired. I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know, man.
So we don't have a whole lot of time. Dana, any idea you twos out there?
Please watch the new season of Fargo. The last episode was this Sunday. So binge watch it, y'all. Listen.
Okay, everybody. Do that. And then buy a book if you are looking for a side project. In your life, buy the book Subscribed by Tien Zhu. I think that's how you're going to say the name. We'll include a link, but it's about why the subscription model will be your company's future and what to do about it. So if you're thinking of a side project, do something where you have to make people subscribe. It's an easy way to get their money month after month, like Netflix is doing to me, you know, and I'm not watching anything because I'm too busy. So that's all we have here today on the show. I want to thank my co-host Dana for joining us here on What's Brewing CISFA, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And hey, everyone, check out the CSFA website at CSFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. You will find our Twitter handle on our homepage, so please follow us on Twitter.
And for this and all What's Brewing CSFA podcasts, find our feed on Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com and on the Apple Podcasts app. Search for CSFA. You can find all episodes at wbcsfa.podbean.com also. That's the word pod and bean as one word. And you can now find us on Spotify.
If you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcsfa.gmail.com.
What's Brewing CSFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of the wonderful Danny Yarbrough and myself.
This has been episode number 42, recorded the morning of Tuesday, December 1st, 2020.
Have a great day.
And have a great week.